With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On the second Sunday in Advent, our hymns this morning are hymns number 901, 392, 347, 342, and 832. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled, Thy Kingdom Come, and is taken from Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. Welcome, and may our Lord bless our worship this morning. We invite you to sing with us as we sing our opening hymn, hymn number 901, Open Now Thy Gates of Beauty.
Well, good morning. Great to see everyone on another Advent Sunday. Doesn't the sanctuary look absolutely beautiful this morning? I wanted to thank everybody who participated in decorating that and in preparing us for this Advent Christmas season. And speaking of preparation, we again are getting ready to light our second Advent candle. Each candle represents another week of how we are preparing ourselves, our hearts, and our minds for the coming of Christ. And this week, we light our second Advent candle, which is the candle of peace. Just came preparing the way of the Lord, saying, repent, for the John says, one who is mightum of heaven down to earth. He is bringing the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And with that, because of Christ and his sacrificial death, his life and resurrection from the grave, we have assurance that we have peace with our almighty Creator. And so that is what we observe this morning. The kingdom of heaven has come to us, and we have his peace. We begin with our opening hymn, hymn number 901. Excuse me, sorry. Would the congregation please stand? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. But for sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Dear friends, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our introit comes from Psalm 105, and we read responsively. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he's uttered. Lord our God. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Makes glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. Old Testament reading for this second Sunday in Advent comes from the book of Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek and of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion, and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all of my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 15. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May our God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another, as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." And again it is said, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the singing of the Alleluia verse.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to see him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess the Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as I invite the children to come forward for a children's message. Everybody, thanks so much for being up here and spending your Sunday with me. It's great to see you. So if you are listening to our gospel reading this morning, we see this very peculiar man who is named John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, you know, if you first see him, if you look at him for the first time and hear what he has to say, you might think that he's gone completely bananas. You might think that he's completely nuts, you know? He's wearing these very itchy clothes, you know, like a sweater. Do you have any itchy sweaters that you have ever worn before? Something that's just very uncomfortable? You know what I'm talking about. And so he's eating like bugs, and he's eating honey. You think the guy is completely nuts, and yet people are flocking to him, wanting to hear what he has to say. And what he says is actually very remarkable, and it is in fact very true. He says that there's this one who's, there's a man coming who, he's talking about Jesus. There's this man who's coming who is mightier than John is. In fact, he is so strong, he's so powerful that he is not even worthy to carry his shoes. You know, I brought with me some very old shoes. I actually washed these in the washing machine not too long ago, so they actually don't look as bad as they are, but they are completely stained. They are falling apart. I don't even know why I keep them anymore. But, you know, this would be a decent representation of what a shoe would have looked like back in the day. Maybe not the style or the design, but the fact that they are dirty and falling apart. Because, you know, when you're walking back then, every path is dirt. They're walking along roads where camels and donkeys and horses do all of their business. And, you know, you wouldn't want to carry my shoes, would you? I don't think you would. Thankfully, they don't smell too bad right now, but regardless, you wouldn't want to carry them. But John the Baptist says, Jesus, I am not even worthy. I'm not even powerful enough to carry his shoes. He is so much stronger and powerful than I am. And he goes on to say that he is so powerful that this man forgives sins. This man loves us and he cares for us and he has the power to give us eternal life. And so that was the message that I wanted to share with you all this morning, that God is strong to give us eternal life. Will you please pray with me? Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for your loving kindness, that you have come to this world to forgive us our sins. You have come to die for us. And you are so strong that you have overcome the death and the grave, and you have given us eternal life. We pray that you would grant this same strength in us, that we can live with you forever. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, thank you so much, everybody. You can go back to your seats, and you can take a piece of candy as you go. God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, as the church continues to move closer to Christmas, we again focus our attention on the coming of Christ. We're gazing upon his birth as we remember the manger, the angels, and of Mary and Joseph. And for good reason, of course, for as many like to say, Jesus is the reason for the season. Without this Christ child, there really isn't much to celebrate about. Because without this boy, Jesus, God in the flesh, there really isn't much joy. So, of course, we focus our minds and all of our devotion upon Jesus' birth. Beyond that, though, as we saw last week, Christmas is not just about looking at the past. We don't just look at the history and the Bible stories, but instead we also look at what that means for us today. Because if it's true that God has come down from heaven, then it should have an impact on our lives. You know, if God interacts with this world, then there is meaning and purpose in all of this. In all that we do, there is a reason for why we're here if God interacts with the world. And with that, this morning I want to focus in on what it is that Jesus actually brings. Because when God entered human history, he brought something with him that we didn't have before. He brings something that we lacked. There was this deep spiritual need, and God came to fill this void and to provide us with our needs. For surely God doesn't leave his throne for no reason, right? I mean, can you imagine that? A king doesn't leave his palace without purpose. You know, certainly many of us, we don't even like to leave our own beds. Many of us, we don't even like to wake up unless we absolutely have to. Likewise, God doesn't leave his throne for any arbitrary reason. For God to have left his heavenly palace, for him to leave paradise where the angels and the seraphim were glorifying him, and for him to put on corrupt, fallen, sinful nature, there had to have been a good reason to do so. For certainly, for God to have left his holy throne, there must be substance to this story. And what it all comes down to is this, that God left his throne to bring his kingdom to the earth. He brings his kingdom to the earth in one of the most peculiar of ways. He brings heavenly paradise to this fallen world through this person, Jesus, and this infant who was born that Christmas morning. You see, Jesus and the kingdom of God can't be separated. You can't have the one without the other. Jesus and the kingdom of God are so interlocked. And so when Jesus leaves the heavenly throne to be born of a virgin, he brings with him God's kingdom to the earth. God's kingdom and the earth meet in this beautiful arrangement. Heaven and earth meet in this divine child, in this one spot, in this one person, this little infant. Heaven and earth touch. The rule and reign of the kingdom of God comes to this world through the baby Jesus. The baby boy brings with him the very reign of God itself. And so when Isaiah says, unto us a child is born, he likely just have said, unto us the kingdom of heaven has come. They are one and the same, and they cannot be separated. Believe it or not, or understand it or not, that is what our world truly needed. in our dark and fallen state, the kingdom of God comes. And he comes to put an end to all of the kingdoms of darkness that surround us. This is why he left his throne. This is what made him leave his heavenly palace, that we might experience and live under and share in this rule and reign of God. In our Old Testament reading this morning, we see this so-called stump of Jesse. It's a pretty weird image, to be honest. In fact, it doesn't show up all of that often in Scripture, and yet its meaning is very significant. You know, when you see a stump, it's obvious evidence that a tree once had been there and it has since fallen. The tree has failed and it's been cut down. And if you're like me, you can't help but think about that tree that used to be there, you know, especially when the stump is massive. You know, it can be 4 or 5 feet in diameter. And you must think how beautiful and grand that tree must have been. And now, but you only see this measly stump. This tree that was supposed to have life and be secure and strong. It was supposed to be brilliant and beautiful, but now it has fallen and it's been defeated. This stump imagery is what Isaiah uses to describe the governments of the world, the kingdoms of the world. If you know who Jesse was, he was the father of King David. He was the human creature from whom God promises to establish an earthly kingdom. And it's from Jesse that God creates what's supposed to be this everlasting governing authority. His heir was supposed to bring a kingdom that ruled with righteousness and honor and power and ruled with the fear of the Lord. The government was supposed to be God's representatives on the earth. And sure, it worked for a while. You know, David had a wonderful reign. He had a great kingdom, and he ruled with righteousness, and he tried to do much good to all people. But after a while, this beautiful and grand kingdom, this beautiful and grand tree has failed. It's crumbled, it's toppled over, and it's been cut down to its base. It's been proven a failure, and the governments and kingdoms of this world will not fulfill our needs. And that has been the problem since the beginning. Earthly governments are doomed to fail. They will never bring about a righteous kingdom. You know, so often as a people and as a community, we think that politics will be the solution to all of our problems. We think that the government can fix everything and that they can rule over us with wisdom, as if they can act as if they have complete understanding or they have complete knowledge or righteousness and the fear of the Lord. But the truth is, the governments can't rule in righteousness or perfection because it can't solve the condition of the human heart. It can't uphold perfectly the righteousness, and it can't put an end to all evil. It will never be able to rid the earth of sin. It will never fix all of our problems because they will never have complete wisdom. They'll never have complete knowledge or power. Every earthly kingdom is limited in its reign. You know, we think if the government, if it could just interfere less in certain issues, or at other times we say if we just had more government and more regulation in other areas. But all the while, our human governments, our human kingdoms always fail. Worldly empires are inherently sinful and will necessarily fall because they are ruled by people. Fallen creatures, they will never stand the test of time, yet we keep trying to make these utopian societies through these human man-made efforts. And of course, though, we should be trying to do good in these areas, and yet that's not where our hope should lie. Our problems will never be fixed through any worldly governing system. We need a greater kingdom. We need a kingdom that will rule in ultimate power and without limits. And that is why Jesus had come to this world. That is why he left his throne. The worldly governments have proved helpless in solving the deepest needs our human hearts require. And that is why Jesus left his throne, to bring his glorious and righteous reign down to earth. He brings his kingdom to you today. The old tree has fallen, but Isaiah says God is going back to the base. He's going back to the source and back to the roots of the stump of Jesse. And namely, that means he's going back to the promise that he had made to Jesse. See, God had once promised that there would be a ruler who would come. Promised that one of his heirs would be a king and would rule forever. His kingdom would have no end. His reign would be ruling in wisdom and understanding, and in him there would be knowledge and power. The old tree had fallen, but up from the base, from the promise God made to Jesse, a new stem is growing. Isaiah says that something different, something greater has come, something that has never been before. Jesus has been born, bringing down the glorious kingdom to the earth. And he brings it this morning. He makes sure of this reality. For God's kingdom is faultless, and he rules in absolute wisdom. He rules with absolute love and righteousness, blessings and grace. This is the kingdom of God. And he's come to put an end to all of the worldly kingdoms, put an end to the kingdoms of darkness that so rule in many of our lives. For many of us, it doesn't always feel like God is ruling with total wisdom. It's hard at times for us to believe that God is truly ruling with total understanding and knowledge and power. You know, we look around and so often we doubt that he is truly reigning. It's as if we can look to God and say, if he knew anything, then he wouldn't act in this or in that particular way. If God knew half of what I know, or if he knew anything at all, then of course he wouldn't let me children die in childbirth. He wouldn't make me suffer through the pains of chemotherapy full as I do. God's kingdom in this life and in the world today seems very chaotic to our minds. There's little that actually makes sense to us. And we act like we know what's best, and we act like we can show God the proper way that things ought to be. We act as if we truly know best. Friends, I'm not going to pretend like I can tell you why at the moment God's kingdom seems so chaotic. For the time being, it seems like sin and the powers of darkness have a stronger reign than God. It seems like evil is winning and God's kingdom is powerless, but this is only for a moment. Jesus has come once before to bring his kingdom down upon the earth. He has started dismantling the kingdoms of darkness, putting it to the end as he heals the crippled. He was giving sight to the blind, and he's forgiving people of their sins. He has started calling people into his glorious reign, calling them to faith and gathering them in his kingdom of peace and love. His kingdom is steadily growing and is full of joy and grace. He is reversing the effects of sin in this cursed world. Jesus has come once before to bring his kingdom to earth, but more importantly, he is coming again. And this next time, like we saw last week, not as a baby, but as an almighty warrior. The next time he comes, it's going to be with ultimate power, where he will once and for all stomp out all evil. And he will bring all of the kingdoms of darkness under his foot. And we will never again experience or live in a fallen world. God's kingdom, once and for all, will reign everywhere and eternity, reigning in love, joy, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, compassion, and peace forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we are actually going to sing a hymn of praise, hymn number 342. Worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand? us pray. God of all power and authority, you are a loving Father who takes care of his children. You always act and rule according to your good and gracious pleasure. We pray that in your grace and mercy, you would so rule in our hearts and minds. We ask that you would have your way in us, that we may so live according to your perfect will. And likewise, we pray that you would continue to protect and provide us with all that we need in this life. We ask that you would continue to give us food, drink, shelter, and family and friends who will encourage and support us. And your wisdom, keep us safe and secure in your kingdom until you come again. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of grace and peace, we ask that we may so participate in the calling the nations to repentance. Use us to be your mouthpieces, that we may help spread your word and truth throughout our communities and into the world. As your word goes out, we pray that that many would be called into your eternal kingdom through the preaching of the gospel. Continue bringing repentant souls to the foot of the cross, that they may see the light. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the nations, we do pray for our governing authorities of this world. Although they will not solve all of our problems, we do ask that you would lead them to serve and rule in both wisdom and understanding. Lead our governing authorities to make righteous laws according to your will, that we may live in a society that is pleasing to your sight. Help us to live with our neighbor in a way that you have so willed and designed from the foundation of the world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the saints, we pray for all of your children who are struggling with the evils of this world, all who are experiencing the effects of this fallen world, and all who are suffering from the kingdoms of darkness. We ask for your holy protection and healing. This morning we pray especially for Pat and Cindy, Carol, Ronnie, Melissa, Nancy, Cindy, Vicky, Neil, Dorenda, John, Erica, Judy, Mike, and Debbie. The gracious Lord, you rule and reign with all wisdom, knowledge, and power. The struggles that your servants go through are not new to you. We pray that you continue to keep them in your loving arms until you come again or call them home. Lord, in your mercy. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we pray to you, Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray together using the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn number 832.